Hey, we'll go over to our back office and see if we can pull in the other guys. Mark's going to read some scripture for us, and then we're going to see a couple of things. Psalm before we go to the other part of our service. 1 Samuel 2:9, called the City of Light, and before we do that, Mark's going to read some scripture for us. Mark, Andy, hello there. Going to talk to you now. Thank you, Mark. Lynn, Roy, Mel, welcome aboard this evening. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and have Mark Phillips read a scripture, and then we're going to sing a psalm, or a hymn, and a couple of hymns, a psalm, and then we'll I've unmuted Brother Carl Roberts tonight, and Brother Mark should be with us momentarily. Go ahead, Brother. Hold on just a second. Let me get you your breath. Okay, go ahead, Mark.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 6. Is there any of you that have any matters with another? Go long before the end, just not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and the world shall be judged by you? Are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge, or at least keep the church. I speak to your sayings so that there is not a wise man amongst you. No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth along with brother, and that before the unbelievers.
Where was that again, Mark?
1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 6.
Okay. Now we're going to sing 299 in the Old School Hymnal. Mark, you want to start that?
City of Light. There is a city of light in the star of the earth, where they know not a sorrow or care, and the gates are of pearl, and the streets of pearl, and the building exceedingly fair. Let us pray for each other, don't think by the way, in this sad world of sorrow and care. For that home is so bright and it's almost in sight, and I trust in my heart will be there. Brother dear, never fear, we shall triumph at last. Let us trust in the word he has given. When our trials and troubles and our weepings are past, we shall meet in the home up in heaven. Let us walk in the light of the gospel divine. Let us ever keep near to the cross. Let us love, watch, and pray in our pilgrimage here. Let us count all things else but as loss. Let us pray for each other, or may, by the way, in the sad world of sorrow and care. For that home is so bright and is almost in sight, and I trust in my heart will be there.
Psalm 33, the Lord remembers me. I don't know if I like the word remembers, but because God is omnipotent, but We'll go ahead and sing it.
Amid the sorrows of the way, through starless night and cloudy day, this is my home, my only stay. The Lord remembers me. The Lord remembers me. The Lord remembers me. I need not fear if he is near and still remembers me. The cares of life are crowding fast, and on my way their shadows cast. But this supports me to the last. The Lord remembers me. Then on him let me cast my care, his guidance and support to share. I'll never sink in our despair, for he remembers me. The billows round me no more fall. The Lord above has bid me come, and now I rest and ask me home. He still remembers me. The Lord remembers me. The Lord remembers me. I do not fear when he is near. The Lord remembers me.
Okay, we're going to sing a psalm taken out of the first psalm.
Oh, greatly blessed is the man who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stand in sinners' way, nor sitteth in the scorner's chair, but places his delight upon God's law and meditates on his law day and night. He shall be like a tree that grows set by the water's side, which in its season yields its fruit and green its leaves abide. And all he does shall prosper well. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which by the wind is driven to and fro. In judgment therefore shall I stand, such as ungodly are, nor in the assembly of the just shall wicked men appear. Because the way of godly men is to the Lord known, whereas the way of wicked men shall quite be overthrown.
I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. That quite a group that's already jumped on board. Thank you, Ashley Kinney from Australia, and Nicholas Olumasiah, Matthew Branson, Jay Joby, Roy Mill, and I haven't had a chance to even go over and look to see who may be on the other side on YouTube earlier. Yes, Mark Kennedy was over there earlier. Now I'm going to go ahead. I've unmuted Brother Mark, Brother Carl Roberts' mic. I'm going to unmute Brother Mark's mic. And how are you gentlemen this evening?
Wonderful.
Good.
Doing well, by the grace of God.
Good.
Hi, Brother Carl.
Well,
hey, Brother Mark.
Well, I hope we have the signal's breaking up a little bit. Hopefully, we'll be okay. Tonight, we're going to be talking about final perseverance of the saints, and I need to hear it. I need it as bad as anyone else.
Me too, brother.
You know, it seems like it's getting, people are getting more hateful all the time.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they'll go on to sermon audio, they'll listen to messages they know that they're in disagreement with, and then they'll attack you, you know. And
yep.
I'm getting quite a number of those. You know, if you're Roman Catholic, you know, I don't consider you to be a part of the church, okay? So you're wasting your time trying to get me to go into dialogue with you, because I don't consider Roman Catholics to be a part of the group, to be Christian, okay? It's the furthest thing from Christianity. So this is just a notice to all you Roman Catholics out there, you know, stop mugging, okay? And in other words, you know, if you don't want to listen to the Word of God, if you want to listen to a pope or a priest that's probably involved in raping little children, then, you know, I'm not interested in dialogue. Also, to all you Methodists out there, okay, you cannot win me over to free willism, okay? I was in it all my life, and God plucked me out of the fire like a brand plucked out of the fire. So you're wasting your time, free willers, to think that you're going to snatch me back into that darkness, okay? And then also to all of you Mormons out there, no, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in anything Joseph Smith or any of your prophets have to say. This is kind of a notice tonight to all of you. If you are, if you're in a universalist church, okay, if you're in a church that believes that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, then you obviously, to be consistent, have to believe that the whole world is going to be saved. But the Bible says that there are going to be those that are in eternal hell. And so you're, like Brother Carl says, you're making God a fist. That's what you're doing. So maybe you ought to listen to Brother Carl's message this morning. By the way, I've sent that out to a lot of people. You need to listen to it to find out if Satan is really God's rival. Okay. Well,
amen.
I'm going to turn it over to Brother Carl and Brother Mark, because this is their fellowship time with the brothers. And I'm going to kind of sit on the sidelines if I can, if I can keep my mouth shut. Anyway, we're talking about the final perseverance of the saints tonight. And so with that, I'll just turn it over to Brother Mark and Brother Carl and let them kind of go any direction they feel the good Lord wants them to go. Brother Mark?
Thank you, brother. God bless you. I had a successful operation yesterday at the College of Haircut Surgery. I got my ears lowered. Anyway, praise God for the saints. God bless you, saints, each and every one. May Jehovah meet you right where you're at and take care, and he will come through with flying colors. And saints, I know I've been a little nitpicky on this, but please continue to lift up the Phillips family and the Roberts family in your prayers, and specifically for Brother Carl's mom, Reba. She's in the deception of organized religion. And please continue to pray for Brother Carl's mom, Reba Sandage, that Jehovah in his sovereignty would pull her out of the lie of the system of organized deception, which is organized religion today. All right, so we're on the final perseverance of the saints, and I think it would be good if we give a little background and definition of our terminology here. So I'll read a short little blurb from Wikipedia, which they basically get it right. You know, there are some things that Wikipedia gets wrong, but this, I checked it out beforehand, and if I didn't think it was up to snuff, I wouldn't put it on the record. So, perseverance of the saints, also referred to as eternal security, as well as the similar but distinct doctrine known as once saved, always saved, in quotes, is a teaching that asserts that once persons are truly born of God or regenerated. We're talking about real salvation here, not decisional regeneration where you fill out the little card and say the sinner's prayer and all that bosh, which is found nowhere in Scripture. So it is a teaching that asserts that once persons are truly born of God or regenerated by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, nothing in heaven or earth shall be able to separate them from the love of God, Romans 8, verse 39, resulting in a nothing shall be able to separate them from the love of God, resulting in a reversal of the converted condition. Sometimes this position is held in conjunction with Reformed Christian confessions of faith in traditional Calvinist doctrine, which argues that all men are dead in trespasses and sin. So apart from being resurrected from spiritual death to spiritual life, no one chooses salvation alone. So I pretty much concur with that, you know. I would not have used once saved, always saved, because that discounts that we have to have holy behavior because of our salvation, not to get salvation, you know, which is what I believe your mom believed, Brother Larry. I could be wrong, and if I am, please don't hesitate to correct me. So I just want to start off. I've got that little chart that I mailed to you guys like a month or so ago, and we're on the P, the final one. It says, God preserves all true believers in Christ. None of the elect will fall away permanently. He enables final perseverance. None will be lost. That's wonderful. That is a comfort. And the phrase of eternal security, that is very comforting to the believer. So I will start off with the Old Testament scripture, which we looked at last time also, because it also relates to irresistible grace. And this is, you all know this one, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. In the Authorized King James only, not the apostate other translations like the NIV, which is the worst of them all. So Isaiah 55:11 in the King James, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And the thing that God sent it for is to bring the saints through all the trouble and tribulation in this world, in this sad and dying world. And he said it, never will I leave you or forsake you. He's going to bring you through. He's not going to leave you in the ditch. He's going to bring you through. So this applies to irresistible grace, which we looked at last Wednesday, and this applies, I believe, to perseverance of the saints. The purpose is the final glorification of the saints. That's the purpose that we're in. That's the thing whereunto he sent it. Praise God, brothers, saints.
Go ahead, Brother Farrell.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. And before I start, I would just like to echo Brother Larry's statement at the beginning of the broadcast. To any Roman Catholics out there that are listening, all right, regardless of whether you raped a child or not, you've cast your lot in with men who have, with child rapists and pedophiles and Satanists. All right, you cast your lot in with them people. You have cast your lot in with them. And if you don't come out by the grace of God, you will perish with them, and you're just as guilty because you're condoning their actions by staying in that mess. Same thing goes for people that are involved in the Southern Baptist Convention. With all the information that's come out recently about all the pedophilia and all the rape and sexual abuse going on in the Southern Baptist Convention, if you're part of a church that's a part of the SBC, and now you know about this, you're condoning that behavior, and you have cast your lot in with them, and you're just as guilty as they are in the eyes of God. And you can call me judgmental and call me angry all you want to. That doesn't change the fact that you have cast your lot in with them. And in the sight of God, you're just as guilty. Now, I tell this to you because I urge you by the grace of God to come out from it. I pray that the Lord is gracious to you and opens up your eyes and calls you out of that mess, because it's utter evil. And with that, I will read a few scriptures from Proverbs 2. And this is and the perseverance of the saints is actually mentioned here word for word. Proverbs 2, verses 6 through 8. In the Authorized King James Bible only. For the Lord, verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and persevereth and preserveth the way of his saints. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. All right? Here's perseverance of the saints right here. And this is a work of God. This is eternal life. Perseverance of the saints is just another way of saying eternal life. Because that's what we have in Christ. And if we can lose our salvation, and I'm not talking about this once saved, always saved, making a false profession of faith and giving Jesus a try. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about true salvation. All right? All of those that Christ laid his life down for, all of his sheep, these are his saints that is mentioned, that is spoke of here in verse 8. And he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. So having said that, I'm going to move into the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 25 through 31. All right, and salvation is of the Lord. That's what we believe here, that we are saved, that by grace we are saved through faith. And that, not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2. All right, and because it's God's work, he shall not fail. That's what we're told about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he will not lose one of his sheep. He will not lose one of his saints, because he is Almighty God. And he's not a failure. He has made an end of sin, and he has finished the transgression on behalf of his saints, on behalf of his sheep. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 25 through 31, and when people hear this, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that God is God, all right, and we stand before him, all right, in judgment, all right, men hate this, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive to men. They hate it. And here we will see just how much they hate it. All right, but make no mistake about it. Jesus Christ will not lose one of his sheep. Verse 25, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Jesus answered them. But let me back up to verse 24, excuse me. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And this is how people act today. This is how will worshipers act today whenever the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. All right, we're told in verse 20, these people are told in verse 26 that they believe not because they're not of his sheep. Right? He doesn't say, you're not my sheep because you don't believe. What he says is, you believe not because you are not of my sheep. All right? Then here we see in verse 28, this is perseverance of the saints. All right? Of Christ's sheep. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And people, these people then, just like people do today, they hate the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is so offensive. And it declares God is God. All right. And in verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And that's how people react, just like the Jews did then. But we don't just serve a Savior. All right. We serve the Savior. All right. Lord God Almighty. And we are all the works of his hands, and he will do with us as he pleases. And what's revealed to us in Scripture that he saved us for Christ's sake, and it has pleased him that he shall not lose one of his elect. And we don't glory in ourselves because we know that we are all sinners deserving to go to hell, every single one of us. But we do boast in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you guys.
Okay, well, that's good. That's a good word from both you, Mark, and Brother Carl. Just want to leave you with a couple of scriptures, and then I'll turn it back to Mark. Kennedy, Brother Mark, in Psalm 28, verses 8 and 9, we read, "The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever." Well, that's a wonderful promise that he is not only our daily strength, that he considers us his inheritance. We've been given an inheritance in the saints, and that he is going to feed them and he's going to lift them up forever. The other scripture that comes to my mind often, and I'm sure it'll be quoted later on, is the scripture in Jude. And I'll just let you guys look that up, but you know what it is, you know. And that's probably one of the strongest two verses on preservation in the whole Bible, mm-hmm. that he's able to keep us from falling and to present us spotless and so on. Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Mark.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Very well said. John 10 is excellent, Brother Carl. John 10 is excellent. Love it. Okay, I have on the scripture in Matthew chapter 24. This is also another well-known scripture. And in the Authorized King James only, of course. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. This is talking about the times we're in right now, the last of the last times. Verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." I would qualify that with lying signs and wonders, like these liars claiming to raise the dead, like Hogan and whatever the other guys, all the rest of them, and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So that's part of the package. Being protected from deception is part of the package of having our ticket punched and ready for heaven. Isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God, brothers.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Brother Mark. Yeah, we read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." So the Lord keeps the feet of his saints, of his elect. This is his work. And this is proclaimed from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end of it. We read in Daniel chapter 7, verse 18, "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." All right, and we do this because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has went before us and put everything under his feet. All right, and he makes sure, all right, that we persevere. Just like the parable in Luke, right, in Luke chapter 15, where we are taught that he will not lose one of his lost sheep, that he will leave the 100 that he has, he will leave the 99 and go for that one lost sheep and lay his hands on that sheep and put that sheep on his shoulders and bring it back home. All right, and that there's more joy in heaven, all right, over one sinner that repents, all right, than the righteous, the so-called righteous, all right. And this is perseverance of the saints, all right. Mm. This is Christ going to get us, and he doesn't just go get us. He keeps us. He keeps
Amen.
Us. In Romans chapter 8, I'll read verses 28 through 39, and this is a beautiful picture of the perseverance of the saint. It's one of the best in Scripture that I know of, and it's absolutely beautiful. Verse 28 in Romans chapter 8 through verse 39 in the Authorized King James Bible only. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And one more time, verse 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. The golden chain of redemption here begins with salvation.
Amen.
Being of the Lord. All right, that God chose a particular group of people and gave them to the Son in the divine covenant, and it ends with our glorification, perseverance of the saints, being brought before God, blameless and holy by the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and presented before all other creatures. All right, and God says amongst all the hosts of heaven, all right, he takes a look at his elect, that have the righteousness of him himself, of God Almighty. And he says, look at what grace has done. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, I just want to share a couple more verses before I turn it back to Mark. But before I do that, I want to give a special welcome, a shout out to Matthew Branson, Jay Joby, Nicholas Alamasi, I hope I said that right, Alamasi, Wes Jacobson, Linda Busby Trotter, and Lynn Rye, and all of the rest of you, and also a special welcome to Babs over on the YouTube side as well. In the 45th chapter of Isaiah, the 17th verse says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. I like the fact that it confirms that we, Israel, spiritual Israel, both Jew and Gentile, is saved with an everlasting salvation. It's not temporary. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. And then in the 46th chapter of Isaiah, he says in the fourth verse, "And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you." I can relate to that statement. "And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you." And then I want to conclude with a scripture here that says, if I can find it here, I just saw it. Okay, yes, verses 9 and 10. "Remember the former things of old. I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." So I'll turn it back over to Brother Martin.
Thank you, Brother Larry. God bless you. Yes, I like that chapter that you quoted in 1 Samuel, Brother Carl. "He will keep the feet of his saints." I like that. That speaks to me of that. That definitely lines up with final perseverance of the saints and being protected from deception. I like that. That's good.
Amen.
Let's see. 47. Let's see. Well, I'll do this John 6, verse 37 to 39 in the Authorized King James Version. "And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. Verse 38, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So Jesus was sent by the Father, and they didn't believe him because they were not the ones appointed to final perseverance unto eternal life. Praise God, saints.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. Yes, and I think that the biggest misconception and misunderstanding of a perseverance of the saints is people think that it's about them, that it's about
right.
us. All right, but that's not what we're saying. We don't preserve us. We do not preserve ourselves. These scriptures
right.
that all three of us tonight clearly teach that it's God himself, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the triune Jehovah, all right, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is God's work, all right? And this is for the glory of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is not a failure, all right?
That's
he
right.
will not lose one of his sheep, all right? And that's who we glory in, all right? And the perseverance of the saints declares the total sovereignty and power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over all flesh, all right? Even the reprobate,
yeah.
all right? Even the reprobate, all right? In Revelation, there's several pictures of the perseverance of the saints. And I'll just read one here in Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 14, in the Authorized King James Bible only. And again, all right, this is about the glory. This is for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This isn't about us. All right, we're just sinners deserving every single one of us to go to hell. So whenever we say when we say perseverance of the saints, what we're saying is that our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has made absolutely sure, because he shall not fail to save every one of his elect. Verse 6, Revelation chapter 5. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seven seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. All right? And I have to pause here and say, here is all men. Christ says, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. All right? Not every single person that's ever lived, but all men. It's we read here, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. All right. Excuse me. Verse 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. For our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, he takes the book because he alone is worthy to open it, because this book is the Lamb's book of life, the book of the seven seals. And in this book is the names of all of God's elect, all of the ones given to the Son by the Father in the divine covenant and regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. All right? And Christ takes this book. And the saints that are before him, all right, and the beast and the 20 elders, they all fall down before the Lamb. All right? And they sung a new song. They say, Worthy. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This is perseverance of the saints. Right here.
Amen.
All right, and this is presented to us in the book of Revelation several times. All right, and this is clearly taught in Scripture that he, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shall not fail. So if one sheep is lost, all right, if one sheep is lost and not found, then Christ has failed. And we know that's impossible because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shall not fail. He is God Almighty, and he will make sure, he has made sure, that all of his saints, all of his elect, all of his sheep will persevere through his finished work upon the cursed tree. Amen.
Amen.
That's really good. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I want to look at another passage in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, cause to inherit desolate heritages. And then we have the beautiful verse in verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands.
and thy walls are continually before me. Brother Mark?
That's very good, yes. That sounds exactly like preservation of the saints. All right. We're gonna look at another one here in John 6. This applies to how we are saved, and it also relates to final perseverance, and that is John chapter 6, verse 44. We all know this one. No man can cometh to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So this is how we come to God. He draws us, and this is how we stay with God. He keeps us. Praise God, saints.
Amen.
Amen. I'll just continue here in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 17. Or actually just verses 11 through 16 in Revelation 19. And here we see perseverance of the saints. All right. Mm-hmm. And this is the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right. And this vision, okay, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here, what is presented to us by the revelation of God and His Word, as we read this together, let's ask ourselves, and I want any will worshipers that may come across this and hear this to ask themselves, as we read these passages, does our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here sound like He needs anybody to help Him do anything? And with that, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven follow him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress and of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 14, where it says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. This is the saints, and they have persevered, and they are, for all eternity, we, the elect of God, are clothed in fine linen, white and clean, because He, in verse 13, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was made sin for us. All right? And He's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And because of this work upon the cursed tree, we persevere. And for all eternity, we are holy and blameless priests and kings, and we are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Amen.
Amen.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful. You know, there's a passage in Hebrews that talks about the fact that it is impossible for God to lie. Okay?
That's right.
And there's a lot of people out there that make God a liar, that make God out a liar. Because if it's impossible for God to lie, and we could go back to that passage, I'm not going to, but it talks about the immutable counsels of His will and the declarations that He's made by His immutable counsel. But if God proclaims something, and it's impossible for Him to lie, what greater amount of guarantee or warranty do we have when He says that He will never leave us or forsake us? He will never leave us or forsake us. It's impossible for Him to lie. And never means never. Never means not just in this world. This means from everlasting to everlasting, from everlasting past to the everlasting future. And we can't wrap our minds around that. Brother Mark, go ahead.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. God bless you, my brothers. This is wonderful. All very well said. Okay, and I have another one in John chapter 6. This is, everybody knows this one too, in the Authorized King James Version. Verse 47 of John 6. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That sounds like perseverance to me. And one thing that I also think is overlooked about eternal life, if you talk to an average Christian, they think it begins not here in this life, but the pie in the sky. No, eternal life starts now. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Amen. And I'll just say that once again, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has made an end of sin and has finished the transgression on behalf of his elect. All right.
Amen.
Therefore, and he shall not fail. All right. We're told in Matthew chapter 1. All right, the angel tells Joseph, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. This is perseverance of the saints. All right? This is the whole 5 points. Okay, basically. Total depravity, the sins that we're saved from, unconditional election. All right, limited atonement, his people. All right? Irresistible grace, all right? And finally, perseverance of the saints. He shall save, all right, his people from their sins. All right, this teaching is all for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's taught all through the Bible from the beginning to the end of it. What are we told in the third chapter of Genesis, all right? What are we told? What does God tell the serpent? What does God tell the serpent? The first prophecy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and
yep,
between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All right?
Yep.
And that's what's been done. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all his enemies have been made his footstool. All right? All of them. And because of his finished work, up on the cursed tree, we will be presented before our Lord, before God Almighty, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right? We will be presented before the Father by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, holy and blameless, priests and kings. All right? Clean, dressed in white linen. All right? Because he went before us and he has a vesture dipped in blood. And that's his finished work upon the cursed tree. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you guys. Amen.
Wow, well, that's really good, guys. I really enjoyed this tonight. And, you know, I actually had a fellow tell me one time a number of years ago. I couldn't believe it. There's a lot of things people have told me over the years that all I could do was shake my head. This person told me, well, Larry, you know that Christ doesn't get all of his prayers answered. Wow. Can you imagine someone saying that blasphemous?
Jesus
doesn't get all of his prayers answered? My goodness. But Christ does get all of his prayers answered. And one of his prayers that I'm glad to be made public to all of us that he is going to get answered is in John 17, verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in them, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Well, if you think about this passage that I just read in verse 24, is powerful. If you believe that Jesus gets all of his prayers answered, now if you don't believe he gets all of his prayers answered, that's not going to give you a lot of comfort. Okay? But in verse 24, if you believe that Jesus gets all of his prayers answered, this is a very powerful verse for preservation. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me.
Mm-hmm.
You think Jesus is going to get his prayers answered? I think so. Go ahead,
yep.
Brother Mark.
Yes, and we have to keep in mind that this is the elect, because, you know, all
yes.
the nominal Christians, you know, they tell their unsaved friends, oh, just pray. You know, they may tell their unsaved friends, just pray and ask God to come into your heart. It doesn't work that way. God does not hear the prayers of the reprobate. He only hears, and Christ only intercedes for the ones that the Father gave him before the foundation of the world, namely the elect, of course. Praise God, saints. Okay, well, thank you, Brother Carl. God bless you. I'm going to run an errand when we're done here, and then I'm going to come right back and watch your video from today, Brother Carl.
you haven't seen it yet?
Not yet. I started, but then I had to do something else. But I'm going to go run an errand and come right back and watch it. So I will close our wonderful time with a final scripture from John 10. This is in the beginning of the chapter. You did something earlier in the end of the chapter, and they both apply, Brother Carl. Praise God. So I will do close out our wonderful session tonight with John chapter 10, verses 3 to 6, but I'll actually start at verse 2 in the Authorized King James Version. Verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That's Christ. Verse 3, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So this here about the sheep following Jesus because they know his voice and all that, that's preservation to me. That sounds like it. And the voice of the stranger they will not follow because they'll flee from him because they don't know his voice. So that's wonderful. Praise God,
Amen.
Saints.
Amen. Well,
Amen.
As I promised earlier, I would read the last few verses in Jude. But before I do that, I want to make sure that we know who Jude is talking to, like Brother Mark said. I'm glad that Brother Mark pointed out in John 17, we know who Jesus was praying for. He wasn't praying for all men without exception. He was praying for his elect. But in Jude, it says the first verse, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Okay, that's who he's talking about. He's talking about the sanctified, the called, and the preserved. And he ends with saying, in verse 24 and 25, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
So like Brother Carl said, all glory goes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no glory here for man.
None.
Not the exaltation of the creature. It's about the exaltation and glory and honor of Jesus Christ. I want to thank the brothers tonight for bringing such a good documented presentation of the preservation of the saints. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much. And I know that everyone else will appreciate it as well. Yes, as a side note, Brother Carl, I was talking to Brother Walt Stickle today, and I had sent out your video to some people, and he received the video, and he's going to listen to it later on tonight, too. He was captivated by the title of that video. And he said, that title really made me stop and think. And I said, yeah, it does make you think, you know. And so I would encourage everyone to listen to that or to watch that video on YouTube and subscribe to Brother Carl Roberts and give him a word of encouragement. Give him a word of encouragement from time to time. He's putting his neck on the line, literally. By the way, when you go out there and you put your face in front of YouTube, in front of the world, you're putting your neck on the line. So, anyway, get ready, Brother Carl. Just wait. Yours is coming up.
I am reminded of that passage in Scripture, and before I say it, please, I don't want people to think that I'm saying I'm righteous, because I'm not. Because I know that I'm not. The righteousness that I have is my Lord and Savior's imputed righteousness. All right?
Right.
But we're told in Scripture, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I'm not afraid by the grace of God. And I'm bold because he's given me the grace to be. And, you know, he's just put such a fire in me to come out against this will worship and all this nonsense. And, you know, that's what I'm doing by the grace of God. And as long as he gives me the grace to do that for his glory, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to close my end with John chapter 6, verses 35 through 40. And one of the reasons that I love this scripture, these passages of scripture out of the mouth of our blessed Redeemer so much, is because here are the 5 points right here. With the first one, total depravity, being represented by the hunger and the thirst in verse 35, and then closing out with the perseverance of the saints in verse 40. So here we go, verse 35 through 40 in John 6. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Perseverance of the saints. God bless everybody that was listening, and we love you, brothers and sisters.
Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to remind everybody, tonight is Wednesday night.
Yes.
Tomorrow is Thursday night. And Brother Mark and Brother Carl are going to have a fellowship time. And I don't know, have you guys come up with a topic yet for tomorrow night?
I'm leaving it up to Brother Mark.
I was doing some of my daily scripture readings the other day, and I went through Hebrews chapter 10, and that was very edifying to me about how the former system of animal sacrifices have passed away because we have a new and better thing. So why don't we read through Hebrews chapter 10, and we can all discuss Hebrews chapter 10.
Sounds like a great plan. All right.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night.
Previous system of sacrifices and how they could never heal sin, just cover it up.
Good. Well, tomorrow night. tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, the same time, we'll be here, and we'll be Brother Mark and Brother Carl will be discussing Hebrews 10. I'll try to put my 2 cents in, and I'll try to make it 2 cents and not more. So anyway, you all have a good evening, and I'm going to go ahead and stop this recording and stop the YouTube and Facebook. Have a good night, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
God bless you, Saints.
Thank you, brother.
God bless. Love you guys.
God bless. Love you, too.